Welcome to the One Wyoming Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Thorburn. You can follow me on X at @by_RyanThorburn. Make sure you go to the Poke Insider page to get all of my coverage of the Cowboys and Cowgirls. We are going to talk some off-season hoops today. We have new Wyoming assistant, Chris Thomas. Chris, I think you've been in Laramie close to a month already. Welcome, first of all, and thanks for coming on the podcast.
Thank you, Ryan. It's been a great month so far. Really, really excited and really happy to be here.
What is your first impression of Laramie and the University of Wyoming?
Yeah, so first impressions, I came directly from New York City, so you can't have probably a more polar opposite situation than Laramie to New York City, but it's absolutely beautiful here. I've had the chance to go to Medicine Bow already, went up to the Snowies with Coach and his family, and just the serenity and the beauty and the peace here is very welcome for me.
Yeah, it'll be fun to talk about your journey. First of all, I'm jealous of your passport because it's punched a lot more than mine over these last 20 years. But let's start with how you met Sundance Wicks. I think this has been building for a while. You guys met, I believe, in 2007 when he was at Northern Illinois and you were a Chicago Bulls scout. And I'm guessing your first impression was a lasting one. And I know in the press release, his quote said when he met you, one of the things that he thought to himself was that you guys would work together someday. So what was the story behind that meeting?
Yeah, that's... I echo those same sentiments. I mean, I think how it happened, I'm a basketball junkie. I have been my whole life. I've, kind of been born and raised in the game and been very lucky to make this, a career for myself. So in 2007, through no official capacity with the Bulls, I reached out to, I think, the sports information director at the time at Northern Illinois and just asked if I could come up and watch a practice. So made the drive, ended up talking to Sonny for, about an hour after the shoot around, after the practice that they had, and made a couple different journeys up there, saw them play a couple games, just instantly gravitated toward his energy. I mean, obviously I know I'm not the only one, that can make that claim, but, just instantly hit it off with him. And we started delving into, various, offensive and defensive philosophies, the things that I've seen, on the road as a scout, within the NBA. And, again, just more than just surface level conversations. It's very rare in life where when you meet somebody and you can take deep dives into different things and not just stay on a superficial level. So the instant, just that instant, sort of attraction from a basketball standpoint, and you just immediately felt the energy that was there. And it was just, like I said, I think from that day forward, I was really hoping that, it would come to fruition, that we would work together.
Sonny was a young assistant at that time for Ricardo Patton. I actually knew Ricardo from living in Boulder and covering the Buffs for a long time. But I think you're close to the same age as Sundance. Did you keep in touch with him or follow his career from afar? And how did that work?
From Chicago, became an assistant coach and scout with the Golden State Warriors. And I actually spent a lot of time in Phoenix, Arizona during that time, where Sonny was working out, so many high level athletes. And, him and I stayed connected throughout that time. I actually came and watched him, work out a few guys, during my stops in Phoenix when we'd be playing the Suns or I'd be scouting the Suns. So we stayed together, all through that time. And, throughout my course of being a head coach and, all the countries that I had traveled to, we'd always stayed in touch, passed, offensive sets along to each other and kicked around different ideas. We've stayed in touch. And again, just kind of keeping that theme of more than just basketball, just always knowing what was going on in his life. He would know what was going on in my life. And so we had that bond, obviously, from the game of basketball, but it was much deeper than that, throughout the course of the years.
I know that you started out in college and you were recently back in college and then in between, obviously, a scout for three different NBA franchises and coached in Slovenia, Canada, China, Croatia, Puerto Rico. Does that about cover it?
Yeah, so let me see here. Canada, China, Malaysia, Slovenia, Japan, Ukraine, Puerto Rico, and Croatia as a head coach. And So thankful for all of those opportunities. Just, you know, the ability to see the world, the ability to coach so many different types of players too. I think that has been, you know, extremely helpful in my career. You know, not just, you know, staying to one level of athlete, but, you know, having to immerse myself in the different customs and cultures that, you know, players, you know, come from on a day-to-day life has been something that's been very, very beneficial to me throughout my career. So yeah, I've had a couple interesting stops on the journey. And, you know, again, I wouldn't trade it for the world.
Do you have a favorite of, you know, a foreign country that you just love or a culture that you love?
Yeah, I think two will always stand out to me. Number one, Slovenia, for sure. You know, just number one, I spent the most time there. And, you know, I was able to be an assistant coach for the Slovenian national team as well. So, you know, I had the opportunity to coach Goran Dragic and, you know, quite a few different NBA players. And you know, the beauty of coaching a national team is, you know, during the 2013 European Championships, they were actually in the country of Slovenia. So, you know, we're playing in front of a home crowd. Every time the national anthem went on, I still get goosebumps kind of thinking about the, you know, the level of passion and everything that kind of went into that journey. And then, you know, being a head coach there for one of the higher level professional teams was great just because of the friendships that I had built and you know, kind of everything that was there for me. And then the second experience was Puerto Rico, and mainly because not just did I get to coach, you know, quite a few former NBA players, but one of my younger brothers was one of my assistant coaches during that time. So it was nice to, you know, to have family down there and to experience a great place with someone that means so much to me.
I mean, obviously you've been able to coach small level college guys, Steph Curry, I imagine a lot of really great foreign players like the ones you mentioned. What's that like, putting that all those pieces together and just having that background of knowing all the different levels, all the different, you know, journeys that these guys have been on throughout their lives and kind of bringing that to Wyoming?
You know, what's really neat is whether it's MVP level guys like Steph Curry or Derrick Rose, who I've had the opportunity to coach, or, you know, fringe NBA guys on two-way contracts that are just battling every day to maintain on a roster, or journeyman, you know, professional players. You know, it always comes down to, you know, imparting wisdom and putting people in positions to be successful. And I think, you know, the more I've done this and the more I've been able to be around every different level of, you know, basketball player, the more I realize that, you know, pretty much everybody's the same. And it's, you know, the guys that can separate themselves are the ones that attack each day with an unrelenting passion to get better. And, you know, you try to relay that information to all the guys that you coach. And again, I've always believed that it's going to always be about putting players in positions to maximize their success and minimize their weaknesses. And the more players that you get to deal with, and the more, you know, different levels you get to coach on, the more you realize that, you know, every player has a lot of similarities. And it's just the really special ones are the ones that are able to differentiate themselves just by the way they attack every single day.
So when Sundance had this opening, where were you when he called and what was the conversation like? And what do you think your role will be on this staff?
Yeah, so I was in New York City with my fiance at the time. You know, we had, you know, spoken about, you know, a couple things and we'd stayed in touch, you know, obviously like we talked about earlier. And when the offer came, you know, the first thing I did was, and this is the first for me, it's the first time I've ever really had to check with someone aside from myself. You know, I just got engaged last summer. We're getting married this summer. So first thing I did when I hung up the phone was go to Karen and kind of get her thoughts on everything. And, you know, we kind of talked for a couple days and, you know, the more she heard just how much this would mean to me and you know, would be great for both of us together, the easier it was. You know, it just was a no-brainer to come out here. I was absolutely ecstatic that he would even consider me to join his staff and to be a part of this special environment here at Wyoming. And kind of in terms of my role, you know, again, I think it's going to always be ever evolving, but, you know, the piece of the puzzle that I'm going to try to bring is to help him really kind of develop and, you know, implement a really fast-paced, really, you know, kind of cutting-edge kind of offensive system this year. You know, he's already just, his basketball mind on the offensive end of the floor is, is unparalleled. Of all the people that I've had a chance to deal with, Sonny is just an exceptional offensive mind. But, you know, I'm just here to kind of give him some ideas and allow him to kind of refine, you know, some of the things that we're going to give to the players each and every day. And, you know, it's a role that I absolutely love, because I've always been, you know, kind of an offensive guy myself as well. So, you know, the thing that coach has done is he's assembled a staff that, you know, has, you know, strengths that fit each other. You know, there's not, you know, five people on our staff who are going to lock in on the offensive end. You know, it's a group of guys who are so talented in the areas that they were brought here to sort of master. And really what we're trying to do is put that puzzle together, make it coach's system, and, you know, kind of go from there and just be a sounding board for him, you know, on the various areas that'll pop up every single day.
Yeah, I want to get into the staff and how that all fits together. But first, I'm just curious, what does Karen think about moving from the Big Apple to Laradice?
So Karen's here right now. She's here. She's visiting for the week, and she's loved every second of it so far. I'm not even just saying that either. I was, because I'll be quite honest with you, I was pretty nervous at first. And I planned out the entire week. Like, I literally did an itinerary, you know, for the week while she was going to be here. And, you know, she's already just kind of the same thing I was saying earlier, just the tranquility that comes with this place. It's a heck of a lot better than, you know, having to close your windows in 95 degree weather because the car's buzzing by your house and the horns going on and the ambulances and the sirens and all that. So this is, she's really, really loving it thus far. And, you know, it doesn't hurt that everybody here has been so welcoming too. I mean, she came into the office on Monday and, you know, I've never seen a group of people so welcoming and so receptive to someone they had never met before. So Karen is loving it, and you know, it's been a great reception so far for her too.
Well, hopefully we can shut off the wind machine for her soon, and because June through, I would say, most of November is why they call it Laradice. Yes. And we're almost there. Okay, so obviously Nick Whitmore is back on the staff, Nick Reynolds, Tim O'Flanagan. I think Nick, like you, has an international flair to him as far as recruiting and knowing that type of group. And he obviously coached elite high school guys as well. And then you join in with Will Martin, who was with Sundance and was a head coach, you know, where Sundance was before. And then Chris McMillan, a Wyoming point guard legend. So how is it all fitting together, the new, the old, the nostalgia, and the future?
It's been awesome. I mean, it's legitimately been such a seamless transition for all of us. I mean, I think, you know, kind of a funny story right now, you know, as we're all kind of trying to find our housing and things like that, we have myself, C-Mac, Will, and Nick Reynolds are staying in the same house right now. We've lovingly called it the Portal House, you know, throughout this month that I've been here.
Like, so, old school.
Yeah, you guys are old school.
Your own fraternity again.
It feels like it, and at almost 45 years old, I kind of question myself if I'm taking a step backwards in the living style. But no, it's been amazing because, you know, again, that's accelerated all of our understanding of who we are, and, you know, learning, you know, not just from a basketball standpoint what we bring to the table, but who we are as people. And I think that's just been the amazing thing, is just the journeys we've all been on to lead us all here. And I couldn't be more grateful to be a part of this. You know, you mentioned Nick Whitmore. You know, I had a relationship with him as well, you know, before coming here. I was an assistant coach at Long Island University in Brooklyn right before I left for Croatia, and I actually recruited a couple of his kids while he was in Asheville, North Carolina. So I made the trip down to his school and, you know, kind of came in there. He welcomed me. I got to watch, you know, a practice and a film session and a game. So, you know, it's just the basketball world shrinks everything. And so the similarities that we all have, it's really allowed this to kind of come together like a really pretty puzzle.
You mentioned that you guys are working on maybe more up-tempo, fast pace. Last year, of course, Sundance had to put together a roster right now, like this part of May. They were just getting started when everyone else was already finished. And this year, obviously, you guys were able to finish on time, really, especially early compared to last year. So he was dealt the hand he was dealt, and they slowed it down at times and played a Larry Shyatt style, which I know Coach Shyatt loved, and Wyoming fans loved that Larry Nance Jr. era. But styles make fights. Does this kind of, I guess, I've always thought with the altitude and everything, up-tempo would be great. Maybe not Loyola Marymount of the early 90s, but something pretty intense like that, 40 minutes of hell style. But does this mean that you guys maybe think you have the personnel to run?
Yeah, I think that's a great point. You know, you've got to lean into all the advantages that you have, and that's 7,220 feet. You've got to lean into that. And you know, it's, you know, for example, you know, anytime we would go play Denver, you know, Denver and Utah, they listed their altitude the second you walked into the arena, and they'd have signs that said, you know, please monitor your oxygen level. So they made it known, hey, you're about to walk into a buzzsaw here. And so we've got to lean into that as well. And, you know, I think the beauty of this is that, you know, while we want to play a little bit more up-tempo this season, while we want to kind of bring that to the table, we're going to play to the strengths of our roster. We're going to play to the pieces that are going to be a part of this puzzle in terms of, you know, the roster that we've assembled. So, you know, we're only going to do what our players are going to, you know, show us they can do. So, you always come with a plan. You always have backup plans. You always have, kind of a lot of things that go into this. And that's the beauty of putting an offensive and defensive system together, is there's a million ways to win games. And this is the beauty of working for someone like Sundance, is that he is such a brilliant offensive mind that he's going to put our guys in positions to succeed every single possession. And so, you know, that's definitely something we're going to really try to get our guys to buy into, and really something we're going to bring to the table. But at the end of the day, it's always going to come down to what our players are going to be capable of doing. And we're, like I said, as a coaching staff, we're going to be able to put them in positions to succeed.
I know a chunk of the guys were already committed or signed before you got here, and then you added on to that and finished it up since you've been here. I believe 7 transfers, 4 freshmen, 3 returners. The whole group will be on campus in June, and then you'll start figuring out their strengths and weaknesses, I suppose. And Pokes Insider will have, you know, stories on all of them. You can meet all the new guys, so stay tuned for that. But before they get here, what is your impression of the group and just how it all came together, and maybe, you know, how it could maybe compete in the Mountain West? If it, you know, are you an analytical guy? Are you the manalytics or the combo? How do you see this playing out?
Definitely a combo. You know, again, that's kind of coming up through the NBA. You know, we were, you know, my first couple years in Chicago, analytics were barely a part of what we did. And this probably speaks to how old I am, you know, almost being 45 now. But, you know, as I kind of evolved, you know, especially in Golden State, we really took an analytical approach to everything and building out not just roster and free agency, but, you know, just the different situations that we were going to try to attack. So I do kind of look at both sides of that, and I love the term analytics. So I'll kind of roll with that too. But this is going to be an exciting group. You know, the thing that I love about this group is the versatility. Again, I know I've said this a couple times already, but the pieces fit. You know, we don't have, you know, many guys that kind of duplicate the skills of other guys. You know, we've got a lot of guys in here that can pass, shoot, and dribble and defend. And, you know, we've got switchable pieces on defensive end. We've got, you know, pick and pop bigs. We've got roll bigs. We've got excellent attack-minded guards. So this really has the pieces of you know, what could be a really, really good basketball team. And I think that's always where you want to be at this time of year, you know, feeling incredibly excited about not just the players, but the people you're bringing in. And again, I think that's been a unique aspect of working with this staff. The you know, talent on the floor has to be there, but really, you know, the delving into the background of every single one of these guys and knowing that their culture fits and they're going to be people who are going to represent the University of Wyoming with just an incredible amount of pride and passion. That's really helpful for the enthusiasm for this group as well. So I absolutely believe that this is going to be a competitive unit. I think we're going to be able to play, you know, a very fun style of basketball this year. And we're just really looking forward to getting them on campus here in June.
Yeah, you don't see a lot of centers and bigs, even in the NBA these days. That's why I think the Joker dominates so many series. It's just rare to find these guys. And I know in the portal era, it's really hard to find the bigs, the traditional centers. You do have a 6'10 freshman coming in from Wisconsin. So I don't think there's a lot of traditional bigs, but it's still a pretty big team. When you look at the guards, you have a 6'7 guard coming in. and there's a lot of 6'6", 6'8", 6'9". Is that continuity through the roster? I think you see that at San Diego State a lot, just a lot of those 6'7", 6'8" guys that are really athletic. Is that kind of the new trend and a way to compete in the Mountain West?
Yes, absolutely. You know, you want positional size at every single spot. You know, I had the good fortune of working for the Toronto Raptors for a year, and the GM of the team is a guy named Masai Ujiri, and his whole philosophy was just draft length. You know, bring in guys that, with massive wingspans that can clog the floor up defensively and who can be a problem on the offensive end just simply through their versatility. So, I mean, and again, you look at that roster, you know, there was Pascal Siakam, Scotty Barnes, guys that are just pterodactyls out there. I mean, just their wingspans. So that is definitely a trend right now, something that, a lot of teams are trying to find, but not just the positional size that we brought in, but the fact that all these guys with positional size can play is what makes you really excited. So it's not just the length, it's not just the athleticism, it's the fact that they're so versatile. And that's what really, again, it helps on the offensive end to be able to run a lot of different things. And we've got guys that can run a lot of different things, play in a lot of different ways because of that size and because of that skill level.
I believe this new era of college basketball was a shock to a lot of people, including Wyoming fans, but it's nationwide. It's shocking because every year the rosters turn over across the country. Obviously, the transfer portal, you can get in there every year if you'd like to. And then there's the NIL piece. Some programs have, I wouldn't say NBA budgets, but extremely high budgets. Others don't. Do you feel like Sundance, being here at Wyoming, being at D2, being a Wyoming guy, being at Green Bay, now here for a second year is kind of figuring it out. He calls it Moneyball, but do you feel like it just feels like this roster is very exciting, where last year you just had to do with what you were given?
Yeah, I think, number one, yes. I mean, he has such a analytical mind, and the ability to play Moneyball is great, because really what you're doing is you're trying to find and assign a value to a certain player that's going to be able to bring the skill level that you need. And he's already, like, I was amazed when I got here, before I got here, when he started sending the information that we sort of use as a guideline. It's extremely in depth and extremely detailed, and only a way that Sundance Wicks could do it. So yes, the grasp on the ever changing landscape of the college athletic world right now, he's at the forefront of that. There's no question in my mind. And it's really funny because, I was having a conversation with a really good friend of mine the other day, a scout in the NBA, and I told him, really, right now, college basketball is the equivalent of, if every NBA player had a 1-year deal and there was no salary cap in the NBA, guys can go wherever they want for whatever amount of money that's going to be offered to them. So it's definitely a changing landscape. And, again, I think a lot of people are trying to get a grasp on that. And, they're still, we're just in such an advantageous position right now because our roster is full. And, again, just kind of looking through, various rosters right now throughout the scope of Division I college basketball, there's a lot of guys that are still looking for 2, 3, 4 players at this point in time. So that really speaks to the handle that coach has on what's going on. I like I said, I've just been extremely impressed with just the professionalism and the attention to detail throughout this portal process.
The Arena Auditorium, you've been in there. It's beautiful. It's empty right now. Have you dreamt, I know Sonny's dreaming of this, of the day when you guys can recreate that magic from some of the glory eras of the past and make that home court advantage a big deal, because that's one of the, it's probably the key first step to getting back to contending for the NCAA tournament, contending in your conference, is you have to dominate at home.
Yeah, there's absolutely no doubt about that. And, just walking in there and just feeling the energy, of the gym. I mean, it's an incredible arena, and we've got to make that home. And, I think, again, it kind of ties back into the fact that, like you just said, you always have to defend your home court. That's going to be something that, we'll talk to the guys about, ad nauseum throughout the course of the year. It'll be something that comes up quite a bit. In order to do what we want to do this year and take the special steps that we want to take, it always starts with defending your home. And, you know, the fans here deserve that. The players here deserve to feel that. You know, I know we're excited to hopefully be a part of that as a coaching staff. So it's a beautiful facility. I mean, and just, not just the arena, just, you know, again, I was walking my fiance through the facilities on Monday, and she was just blown away by Hap C and by the arena, by the locker rooms, by everything that we have here. So it's now up to us to honor, you know, that home court and by playing and defending it every single night.
Well, that first game in November feels like a million years from now, but I imagine for you guys, it's going to go by fast. And how important are these next few months behind the scenes when this whole new team arrives? You guys get a get up close and personal with them and just get ready for that grind of November through March.
Yeah, I would even say this next month, you know, before the guys get here for the summer, is extremely important. Because again, it doesn't start in the fall. It starts, you know, when they get here, you know, in June. So we're already, you know, prepping on both sides of the court and, you know, player development drills and the things that we're going to roll out to these guys, you know, not just from a broad macro perspective, but a micro perspective too. You know, we've already talked about, you know, how we're going to build the offense out, you know, what we're going to do first, what's second, what's third, what are the most important things that are going to go into every single detail that we're going to roll out to them. So these months up until November are extremely important. But to me, you know, we're already all working extremely hard just to set the table for them when they get here in June. And, you know, yeah, November is going to be here like that. I can't believe I've been here a month already, to be honest with you. It's that month has flown by just because of all the prep and the work that's kind of been going on behind the scenes on a day-to-day basis. But this is the fun part for us. You know, this is, you know, speaking for myself, this is why I love coaching. You know, I love this profession so much because this is what I believe helps win games, the stuff that, you know, fans and the players don't see. And so that's what we're busy at work doing. We've got a dedicated coaching staff that's all on the same mindset and in the same mission. And it's just really exciting to be a part of all this.
Well, Chris, thanks for coming on the podcast. We're excited to have you here. I think once Sundance gets it set up and it turns, it's going to turn in a hurry. Hopefully that's this upcoming season. We'll see. It's a process, but great having you here. Have a great summer. Congratulations on your engagement, and thanks again.
Thank you so much for having me. And like I said, we're really excited to be here and looking forward to a heck of a season.
All right, everyone. Well, thanks for tuning in. Make sure you subscribe at Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. We'll talk to you soon.